You find those, then go to John chapter 10. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about steps to an abundant life. We all want to have an abundant life, don't we? I mean, there's no point just going through life in a ho-hum fashion and just get through it, you know? I mean, you know, we're born, we're here for a while. The Bible says our life is as a vapor, you know, just to come on the scene, be there for a little while, and then we're gone and it's over, you know? No, I mean, I'm looking forward to an abundant heaven. Hey, man, I'm looking forward to an abundant eternal life, and boy, that's going to be tremendous. But the Lord wants us to have an abundant life on earth as well, not just when we get to heaven. We ought to be blessed down here. We ought to have a good time down here. We ought to be happy. We ought to feel fulfilled. As some of you folks are in your twilight years, and as you look back over life, most of you can probably say, you know, it's been a good life. God's been good to me. We've seen some good things happen, and I've seen the hand of the Lord in our lives and so on. But some folks, they get up in later years and they look back and they say, it was all a waste. How sad. And as a Christian, even as a Christian, you can have that sort of feeling as you get toward your latter years. You say, like, boy, you know, I didn't do anything. My life was just there. And I don't want us to get that way. I don't want us to be that way. I want us to have an abundant life. But now, if we're going to have an abundant life, we've got to lay the groundwork, because it doesn't just happen. You've got to plan for that. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Okay, Ephesians, or John chapter 10. You're in John 10. Let's look at verse 10. John 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Again, the Lord's desire for us is to have an abundant life. And now over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Then flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. You've got your place there. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, the Lord wants us to have an abundant life. We read about that. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 talks about growing. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The Lord wants us to grow. Now, I want to tell you here this morning that if you're going to have an abundant life requires growth. All right, so you don't want to stay as a newborn babe. No, you want to desire the milk of the word, that you can grow, and then as you grow and you mature, then you move on to stronger food, you know, and you grow. So abundant life requires growth. Now, growth, as you grow, growth will produce stability in your life. You ever notice somebody that's on and off, you don't know whether they're going to be serving the Lord this week or living for the devil. You've all known some folks like that. You don't know whether they're going to be in church or not. You know, some weeks they're here, some weeks they're not, some weeks they're serving God, the next, you know, then they're off for a month, and you kind of get them encouraged, and you get them built up, and they come back in, and boy, they're real faithful for 2 weeks, and then they're off again. They don't have stability. Have you ever known somebody that maybe they were raised in a good, strong, a fundamental church like this one, and then a cult comes along and gets them, and they go off into Mormonism or whatever, you know? And why? They didn't have any stability. All right, we as a Christian, we need, it says in verse 14 here in Ephesians chapter 5, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. No, that's the stability that you'll get in your life as you grow. And these things together, these four things, or I want to share four things with you that will help stabilize your life and ultimately lead you to that abundant life that we all desire. Now, first thing I want to look at this morning is the Word of God. All right. Again, our desire is to grow and be a strong, stable Christian, not carried about with every wind of doctrine, and ultimately have an abundant life. To begin with, you better have God's Word. You've got to have a foundation to build your life on. You need the Word of God. You need it. You need to read it. I would encourage you, pastors encourage us to read through our Bibles every year. I'd encourage you to do that. Just pick it up and read it every day. Take some time to read it. You know, some time. I like the morning. I think that's a great day, a great way to start your day. But sometime in the day, pick up the Word of God and read it. You say, well, I don't get much out of it. That's okay. Just read it. Everything you read, everything that goes in the eye gate, it finds lodging in the mind. You might say, well, I've tried to pull it up and it's not there. It's there. Maybe you can't pull it up, but it's there. And every time you read over it, you reemphasize those truths and it becomes part of you. So read it. But beyond just reading it, we need to study it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As you read it, you know, you're reading it just because you want to read it. But then every now and then something sticks out and say, boy, that's interesting. Take a few moments. Mark that thing and maybe come back later on in the day when you have some extra time or later on in the week and spend an extra 15 minutes or an extra half hour, 2 hours, whatever you have, and research that thing. You know, a wonderful thing that they put in most of our Bibles, that little center column. Some people have no idea what that's for. You got to watch some of it. Sometimes they give you a definition of the word. Forget that. You know, they try to tell you what that word means. More than likely, they're way off on. You know, those that center column isn't inspired. What I'm trying to tell you, okay? But one good thing is cross references. You'll find something in there, and there'll be a little letter by a portion of scripture by a word, and that little letter will give you some other references in your Bible to deal with that same subject. So you flip over there and say, well, what's God have to say about here? And then you flip over there and you run that trail, and sometimes you can learn something. Study the Word of God. I mean, you can go deeper, you can get concordances and Bible study helps and everything like that, but you've got Bible study helps right here in your Bible. Study the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. It's important. But let me say this now. If you're going to take the time with God's Word and you say, I want an abundant life, I want to get on track, I want a good foundation, while you're at it, make sure it's authentic. Make sure you have the real Word of God. Get you a King James Bible. And we know that here at Bethel. Most of us know that. And, you know, maybe you don't. Maybe you're here and you've not been here long and you say, well, I have a Bible. I have a Bible at home. I like to study because it's easier to read. No, it'll lead you astray. You want the real Word of God, the one that God has preserved and has His hand of blessing on, and we're not going to take the time to read a lot of scriptures about that, but I'll tell you what, your King James Bible is the one you need if you want a good foundation and a good start on having an abundant life. I want to just flip over for just a moment, turn over to the Psalms. I'm going to read a couple passages of scripture to you. Let's look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, that's why you need it to get you a good foundation, because it'll guide you. It'll be that light and that lamp that you need to guide you and direct you in life. Verse 130. 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. That's why we need it, folks. I don't know how many of you might be like me, but I that verse talking about me there, it gives understanding to the simple. You know, the simple-minded folks can get understanding from the Word of God. It'll help you. It'll give you that foundation. Look at verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, that thou hast founded them forever. God's word was when it was originally given, it was given with the intent that it would last forever. Amen. That's why we know we have God's perfect word today. And again, I can't take the time to study that this morning, but that perfect word is found in your King James Bible. Look at verse 160. The word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. You know, some folks think that we have God's Word in just the concept. You know, the basic concept is there. No! His words endure forever. Amen. Every word of God that He gave, we have today. You have it in your King James Bible. Make sure that you have the authentic Word of God. And then secondly, I want you to turn with me over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In your quest for an abundant life, you need not only the Word of God, but you need the house of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received His Word, in other words, those folks that got saved, weren't you glad the day you got saved, you received God's Word and got saved? That's talking about Christians here, okay? They gladly received the Word and then they were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen? Now, these folks got saved and baptized. They joined the church. I noticed Brother Dave up there sticking his hand in the water. You know, he probably had something on his fingers, wanted to get it cleaned off. Just make sure that water's warm, you know. Why? Because we want to be able to baptize folks to get saved. You know, that's the whole idea. But then it says they were added unto the church. It's important, folks, not only that we attend the house of God, but that we be members of God's house. Now, we're talking about abundant life, right? If you want a ho-hum life, and you don't care about having the fullness that God intended you to have, just come and visit whenever you like. But if you want an abundant life, you need to be a member of God's house. You need to be in the book. You need to have your membership in a true New Testament local church, just like the one that Jesus started. And you need to have that growth. And let me turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, a couple of verses I want you to read. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here a little bit. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That means two things. That tells us that if you're going to glorify your God, you must do it in the church. Not saying you can't glorify God other places. We ought to glorify God every day of our lives. All right, and we don't have service every day of our lives. Some of us wish we did, huh? Sometimes we're glad to get a break, you know. Sometimes it's tiring and so on. Like have a revival meeting or something, you know, and you go night after night after night. But no, we ought to give God glory all the time, but primarily in the church. And that wasn't just for Bible days. It says world without end. Amen. You know, from now on, today, God wants glory in the church. You need to be here. You need to be in God's house. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in the manner that some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're talking about being in God's house, being faithful, being regular, that we might have that abundant life, that we might have that growth that we so desire. We need that. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Well, I did something wrong here. Find it. Well, anyway, I didn't find it. I don't know what I did. I wrote something down wrong somehow, or I'm reading something wrong. But anyway, His church. What word I'm looking at? The verse I'm looking for. Maybe somebody help me. But it's the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. What I'm trying to say here this morning is his church, this church, the church that Jesus Christ started, is the place that this truth is upheld. You'll find truth anywhere in the world. You'll find truth on the television. You'll find truth in your newspaper. You'll find truth if you go to the library. You'll find truth all over the place. 1 Timothy, thank you. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. I don't know why I had 1 Peter written down there. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Thank you, Brother Dave. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, it'd be good to know how to behave in the house of God. But what I want to point out to you is that it is the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, you'll find truth everywhere, but you're not quite sure whether it's truth or fiction. You hope that when you turn on the newscast that you're getting truth, but we kind of doubt it sometimes. You hope when you pick up the newspaper you're getting a real story, but you really don't know unless you were there and you were an eyewitness. But if you come to God's house, this is the place that God has established to uphold the truth. This is the pillar and ground of the truth. The truth rests on the house of God. It rests here. You see, that's why we need to be here, because everywhere else you'll get a little truth, but you'll get confused because some's truth, some's error. You turn on the radio. Well, that sounds good. Yeah, it sounds good, but is it truth? I don't know. It might be. Well, he was reading from a Bible. Well, it still might be truth. It might not be truth. But if I go to my church where my membership is, it's the pillar and ground of the truth. This is the place that God established to preserve the truth, to uphold the truth. So when you come here, you're going to get truth. You need to have truth, folks, if you're going to have that abundant life. Now, we need the Word of God. We need the authentic Word of God. You need the Church of God. But folks, it needs to be an authentic church. What I'm trying to say is, Christ started a church. Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He built a church. Jesus Christ personally started a church. Personally, during his earthly ministry, he established a church. And he promised, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, why do we have God's preserved word today? Does somebody want to share with me? Sunday school, you can talk out. Why do we know we have the preserved word of God today? Amen. That's it. He said he'd preserve it. Now, we say, well, I know that I have God's word today because he said he'd preserve it. Now, he said he'd preserve his church. Some folks say, well, there's not a whole lot of difference. It doesn't matter which one you go to. I mean, they all uphold Jesus. They all talk about Christ. It does matter. He said he started one. He said he'd preserve it. It's here. It's here. Now, just like you studied God's Word and you studied to find out which is the real one, and some folks have actually gone on a quest to look. They really didn't know, and they went and they started searching on their own, reading. And so this one rings true in the heart of the Christian. This one bears witness of the Holy Spirit. Okay, same thing. You go around, and if you want to, I'm not encouraging you to do this, but I mean, you could go around and you could check into other churches, and you'll find a lot of them. They don't talk about the virgin birth of Christ. They don't talk about the blood. They leave out the standards, the separation, the things that the Lord put in His book. They might offend somebody, so the preacher doesn't touch on those things. You get in a good fundamental New Testament Baptist church, and it'll ring true. The Holy Spirit will bear witness. This is the house of God. You need an authentic Baptist church if you're going to grow. Now, you also need the Word of God. You need the house of God. You need the man of God. Yep, that's right. As a Christian, if we're going to grow, we need the man of God. Turn with me back to Ephesians chapter 4. Part of our text there. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Okay, remember that verse? That verse actually refers back to verse 11 and following. If you look at that, it says, that we be henceforth. Well, what's that mean? That we be, well, it's because if we do these things preceding, then we will be no more children tossed to and fro. So let's go back and see what he's referring to. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. Praise the Lord, they put my name in there. The Lord was thinking about me. Amen. But what we want to look at is the next one. It says, and some pastors and teachers. They're given by God. God gave us a pastor. God gave us pastors. Now, why did He give us a pastor? All right, what for? Why do we need pastor, Lord? Well, read on. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. Boy, don't you want to be perfected? Don't you want to be more like Christ? Don't you want to grow in the Lord? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about growing and having an abundant life. We want that, right? Well, the pastor is for the perfecting of the saints. He helps to perfect us. I don't know that he'll ever get 100% knowing this crowd, okay? No, I don't think any of us will ever be perfected. But we strive to that end, and he strives to bring us to that point. That's part of his duty. That's part of his job. Let's look on. For the work of the ministry. Boy, I'm glad I've got somebody here that helps do the work of the ministry for me. You know, he ministers for me. He ministers for you. Aren't you glad? For the edifying of the body of Christ, he lifts us up. He builds us up in Christ. Now notice verse 13. Till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what he's trying to bring this whole crowd, this whole church. He's trying to bring us to a point of spiritual maturity and fullness in Christ. That's what he's trying to do. Now, why is he trying to do all that? Why did God give us a pastor to try to bring us to maturity and help us and everything like that? Well, look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The reason God gave us a pastor is to help get us solid, to help us grow and help us stabilize our lives, that we don't get blown around with every wind of doctrine, that we can have an abundant life, a life of fullness, a life of blessing. That's why God gave us a pastor. Thank God for your pastor. He's important. He's important in your life. We need him. We need that if we're going to grow, because that's his job, is to help us grow. You say, well, I can go home, I can read my Bible on my own, I can grow. Yeah, but you're not getting it all. You can't get it all, because God said you need a pastor to help you grow. Now, you can take issue with God if you want. It's between you and him, all right? I'll take his word over yours, all right? He said we need a pastor. Now, if you're going to have a pastor, and I trust that most of us do, I think most of us are members of this church and we have a pastor, but if we're going to have a pastor, well, just like an authentic book, the Word of God, an authentic church, a Baptist church, I want an authentic pastor. All right? Now, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that, Brother Rod? What are you talking about? Well, Jeremiah 3 and verse 15, you don't have to turn to it, but he says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart. This passage here, he gave some pastors. God knew that you needed a pastor. God knew that I needed a pastor. And God says, I've got a man for you. Why am I at Bethel Baptist Church? Well, it's a long story. No. Bottom line is, God knew I needed Pastor Skyver as my pastor. And God put me here. Why are you here? Because God knew you needed this church. God knew you need this pastor for this time in your life. You say, well, what happens if the Lord moves him on? Well, then God knew that somebody else needed him more than you did, and God's got somebody else for you for that phase in your life. All right, but we're here today because God knew that we needed Pastor Richard E. Skyver as our pastor. And that's why we're here today. He is our pastor. He is our pastor from God. He's given to us personally, not just as a group, but individually as well. He is God's gift to you. Now, some folks say, well, I'll never forget the pastor that led me to the Lord. He'll always be my pastor. No, he won't, unless you're a member of his church. If Pastor Skyver led you to the Lord, then praise God, he's your pastor. Okay, that's great. If you're a member here, he's your pastor. Wonderful. All right, but if you move and you start attending some other church somewhere, he's not your pastor anymore. Your authentic pastor is the pastor that has authority in your life, the pastor that you are under, the pastor of the church where your membership is. That's your authentic pastor, not somebody that you turn on the radio and you find a Christian station and boy, I like that guy's preaching. Boy, he's good. And sooner or later during that radio program, they'll come on, or maybe at the beginning of it they'll come on and they'll say, "Hello, I'm your radio pastor." Don't buy it. He's no more your pastor than anybody else you meet on the street. Now, he may be a preacher. He's your radio preacher. I got no problem with that, but he's not your radio pastor. All right, you need a pastor, and your pastor is the pastor of the church where your membership is. Not somebody else you see on TV or you hear on the radio, whatever. He's not your pastor. He's not your pastor. You can listen to him as long as he rings true, as long as he's using the right book and that kind of thing, you know, and so on. You be careful about that, but I don't have a problem with that, but he's not your pastor. You don't go to him when you have problems. You don't go to him when you need guidance. And he doesn't come to you when he sees something wrong in your life. You need a pastor. And see, he is to be your watchman. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 13 for just a moment. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Wait a minute, I hear pages turning, and I want you all to get there. I appreciate you following in your Bible. Hebrews 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. I didn't put that word there, or those words. Obey, that's a hard word sometimes. You know, we want to run our own lives. We don't want to obey anybody. You know, that's why I grew up. That's why I'm an adult now. So I can be the ruler. You know, that's why I got married. So I can be the man of the home. Praise God. You know. But sometimes you still have to obey. In this one case, you do. Okay? He says, obey them that have the rule over you. Yeah, believe it or not, God says that the pastor rules the church. All right? Yeah, that's God's way. And praise God, we're in a church that understands that. All right? But I'm just throwing it out there in case you missed it. And then it says, and submit. That's another word that a lot of Christians don't like, but it's there. Submit yourselves. Now, here's what I want you to see. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And there's a whole lesson in the last part of that verse, but we don't have the time to get into that this morning. But anyway, he is your watchman. Now the guy on television doesn't know when you're getting astray, going astray, and doing something wrong, messing up in your life, heading for disaster. He doesn't know that. He just keeps putting it out there, and you catch part of it, and that's good, and you might catch something that'll help you, and that's all right, as long as he's true, okay? Most of them are not true. Be careful. But when your pastor, he watches your life, he sees you coming in there. He knows if you start missing a lot of church, all right? He watches your life. He knows if something's not right in your life and you start to go astray, and he might get you aside and say, come here, brother or sister, I want to talk to you. Or he might just hit something in his message that he feels may be an issue or a problem in your life to help get you back on track. Why? Because he's your watchman. You need a pastor. You need the man of God if you're going to have that spiritual growth. He says we're already in Hebrews. Look at verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation, follow our pastor's faith. We are to follow his faith. Let me put it this way: sometimes the Lord will give the pastor more faith than he gives us. May I say, most of the time, the Lord's going to give the pastor a higher level of faith than he gives the membership. The pastor might say, well, I think this is what we ought to do. I think this is the way we ought to go. Oh, well, we use the building, for example. I think we need to build out there on Infirmary Road. And some of us back here saying, I don't know, Lord. We've still got a little room here. And I don't know, preacher. I don't know. I don't have the faith for that. That's a big one. No, that's all right. You weren't supposed to have as much faith as he has. But what we are supposed to do is we are to follow his faith. All right, so I don't have enough faith for that, Pastor, but you do. So I'll follow you, Pastor. You lead us on, and I'll follow. That's God's plan. Amen. We need the man of God to lead us when our faith is low, his faith is high. You fall in behind him. you know, the pastor gets up and he says, you know, we need to give our tithe and give an offering. We need to give an offering. We need to support missions. We need to give a missions offering over and above our tithe. Wow, pastor, that's a tough one. I don't have faith for that. That's all right. That's all right. Follow his faith. You can ride on the pastor's faith for a while. You say, I don't have that conviction. I don't have that conviction in my life that I ought to quit smoking. I don't have that conviction in my life that I ought to tithe. I don't have that conviction in my life that I ought to dress like a Christian. I don't have those kind of convictions. Well, that's all right. Until you get those convictions in your life, and you will if you keep reading the Word and you keep being faithful to the house of God and you let your pastor, you fall under his submission, eventually you'll have those convictions. But until you have those convictions, just ride on his convictions for a while. It'll be all right. Just fall in and ride and follow his faith. All right, so you need the Word of God, the man, the house of God, the man of God, and then last I want to show you 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about being stable, all right? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need the work of God. If we're going to have an abundant life, if we're going to have that stability in our lives and ultimately have an abundant life, a fullness of life, and really feel like we've accomplished something, we need to be involved in the work of God. Get involved in God's work. Find something to do. Many of you are already doing something for the Lord. Find something that you can do and get involved in the work of God. Find something. I mean, cleaning the church, teaching a class, driving a bus, riding the bus and help keep in control. Maybe get on that bus and teach a lesson to those kids. They could get four Sunday school lessons every time they come to church. They could get one in the Sunday school hour. They could get one over in Super Church. They can get one on the way to church. They can get one on the way home. They just need somebody to teach them. Boy, there's all sorts of things that you can do to be a blessing and get involved in the work of God. But let me mention a couple things here. As you seek to get involved in the work of God, number one, find your ministry in God's Word, or at least the basis for it. The bus ministry isn't in here, but the basis sure is. It's a scriptural ministry, okay? Find your ministry in God's Word. Whatever you want to get involved in, you dream up something. Well, I think this would be good. Yeah, but what's God say about it? Right. All right, make sure that there's at least a basis for it in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the first step toward an abundant life. So make sure your ministry, the work that you want to do, is based on God's Word. And then secondly, do your work through the local church. Because you see, the second step in abundant life is the house of God. Okay, so do your ministry through the church. Now, don't go out on your own and start your little Bible studies. You know, I think I'll have community Bible study. That's how I'll work for God. Well, that sounds like a good idea, but it needs to be done in and through the church, not on your own. You know, I'm an evangelist. You know, here lately we've been here a lot. We haven't had a lot of meetings here in the last few weeks. But when we left to go out and to be an evangelist, I'm an evangelist out of Bethel Baptist Church. You folks sent me out. Okay? So make sure that your ministry is done under the authority of the local church, not on your own. And then the last I want to say, as you find a work to do, do that work with your pastor's blessing. Because that's the third step in an abundant life. The man of God. Make sure that the man of God approves of what you're doing. Well, I think it's a good idea. What's preacher say about it? I think I'd be great for this. This would be the perfect ministry for me. Well, what's preacher say? How about getting with him and say, preacher, I prayed about this and I believe this is what God wants me to do. What do you think? And if he says no, well, say, well, preacher, I want to get involved. I want to do something. What can I do? You don't go out on your own that's what I'm going to do. No, you have your pastor's blessing. All right, you want to grow, don't you? You don't want to remain a babe. You got to trust him. You got to follow his faith. All right, so to steps to an abundant life. Come on, let's say them together. The Word of God, the house of God, the church of God, and the Word of God, all right, the house of God, the man of God, and the work of God, if we're going to grow. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us grow. Lord, as I look over this crowd, most of them have grown tremendously. And Lord, I believe that these folks have an abundant life. But Lord, there may be some here that maybe they're just kind of floating. Maybe they don't have that deepness of root, that stability. Maybe they're failing in some of these areas and their life could be better. God, that's your desire for us. Help us, Lord, to mature, in spiritual maturity, to have that abundant life. Lord, we thank you for our time together this morning. I pray that you bless the service to follow, be with preacher this morning, give him safety on the roads on his way back. We thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.